Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Tet Vav Amud Aleph, that's 15a, and we are 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down from the top. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been discussing are things that are forbidden activities for a mourner, for an avel. So in our Gemara, starting in our previous recording, extending through the next several recordings, the Gemara is going to identify 12 specific actions that are forbidden to a mourner. These are the 12. The first one, which we did in our previous recording, was tisporet, that's hair cutting, hair and beard cutting. In this recording, we're going to deal with two additional ones. One is atifat harosh, that's wrapping one's head with a turban so that you can't see their face, which was aspect of mourning, that your face was covered. Tefillin, a mourner doesn't wear tefillin on the first day of their mourning, usually the day of burial. In our next recording, we'll do a number of additional ones. She'ilat shalom, a mourner does not greet people and is not greeted by people. Number 5 is divrei Torah, a mourner does not learn Torah. Number 6 is tichboset, which is laundry. Number 7 is kriya, which is tearing one's clothes. The next one is kfiat hamita, flipping the bed over. The next one is milacha, a mourner is not supposed to do work. We discussed this earlier in our tractate already. The next one is rechitza, bathing. Then nilata sandal, wearing leather shoes. Then tashmish hamita, having sexual relations with one's wife or spouse. And finally, mishaleach korbanotav, which is both a din in aninut and in avilut, that a mourner does not bring a karban. So those are the, I don't know if there's 12 or 13 specific actions that our Gemara talks about that are forbidden to mourners. And the style of our Gemara is to first state the law related to mourners, and then ask the question about whether or not the same law applies both to a menuda, to someone who is ostracized. We've been using the word excommunicated, but we'll see in this Gemara we'll have two levels. So this is the lower level, whether or not it applies to someone who's ostracized by the community, and whether it applies to someone who is a mitzora, who is kicked out of the community for the period of time that they have this disease. So we begin 8 lines down. Avel chayev ba'atifat harosh. A mourner is required to wrap their head, to wrap it like a yishmaelite. This is kind of the way that you wrap your head when you put on your talit in the morning. Your whole face is covered with the fabric, as if you're a Bedouin in the desert. So where do we learn this from? Miduka amar le rachmana, because of what Hashem said. Rachmana means the merciful one, like harachaman in Hebrew is rachmana in Aramaic. The merciful one, said to Yechezkel. And it brings us to a particular chapter in Yechezkel from which we derive a number of aspects of mourning. It's Yechezkel chapter 24. And what happens in Yechezkel chapter 24, the first part of the chapter discusses the fast of the 10th of Tevet. And then what happens is Hashem tells Yechezkel that his wife is going to die and in a plague. And he says, when I take her from you, ordinarily you would mourn. But he says to him, lo tispod, do not eulogize her, velo tivken, do not cry, and do not let your tears fall. And he says, heanek dom, I want you to sit there silently. Metim evel lo taseh, do not do any of the mourning for dead people. Pe'ercha chavushalecha, leave your turban on your head, or as we'll see, the Gemara interprets this also as continue to wear tefillin. Una alecha tasim braglecha, continue to wear shoes, even though a mourner should be barefoot. Velo tatel safam, and this is the pasuk that our Gemara wants to quote here. Do not wrap the lips. So that means to wrap your face all the way down to your lips. That's atifat harosh. V'lechem anashim lo tochel, do not eat the bread of people. And he goes on to tell him that in all of these aspects, more or less, he's supposed to refrain from mourning to make a visual point to the Jewish people about how they are acting improperly. But we learn, because of what Yechezkel is told not to do, all the things Yechezkel is told not to do are considered to be standard morning practices. So he says here, the Holy One said, Yechezkel v'lo tatel safam, do not wrap your lip. Michlal, from this we can derive, dekulei alma michayvi, that the whole rest of the world, everyone else except for Yechezkel, is required to wrap their heads until their lip. So now the Gemara asks, Minuda mahu batifat harosh, an excommunicate, a person ostracized by the community, do they have to wrap their head as well? Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Tashma, come and learn. Vehein mitatfin v'yoshvin, these people, and here we're referring to the leaders of the community when there is a famine. So, and they've already had a number of fast days and special days of tefillah to ask for rain to come, and it hasn't come. So now they're getting to the most serious level where they're afraid really Hashem is punishing them. And it says, Vehei mitatfim, they should wrap themselves in their talitot, v'yoshvin, and they should sit, kiminudin v'chavelim, as if they were excommunicated and if they were mourners. So it seems to be that it is the practice of both not only mourners to wrap their heads, but also people who are menuda, who are ostracized. Ad shiyirachamu aleihem min hashamayim, and they're supposed to sit this way in prayer and isolation with their faces wrapped until Hashem has mercy on them. Amar le'Abaye, so Abaye says this is not a good proof. Dilma menuda l'hashamayim shayni. Perhaps when one is excommunicated by heaven, it's different, dechamir, and it is more severe. In other words, these people are being punished by Hashem. He is specifically not bringing rain to them, even though they're davening and fasting. So that is a way of saying Hashem is ignoring their tefillot. But in this case, where in the community or the Beitin excommunicates someone or ostracizes them, perhaps it's not as severe, and they don't have to do atifat harosh. They don't have to wrap their heads. So it's the conclusion is unclear whether or not they are required to or not. Mitzora mahu batifat harosh. What about a mitzora? Do they have to wrap their heads? Tashma, come and learn. It's a clear pasuk. It says in Vayikra, ve'al safam yateh, and they should wrap their lip. Michlal, from this we can derive, shechayv batifat harosh ma'mina, that they are, of course, required to wrap their heads. This was an obvious proof, but I think the Gemara is trying to keep the flow of stating the case for an avel, dealing with it for a menuda, an excommunicate, and then dealing with it for a mitzora. So it keeps the flow, even though the answer is obvious. And here we see that, and we've seen this already, and we'll see it a few times, that a mitzora and their conduct is more stringent. There are more restrictions on a mitzora than there are on a menuda, on a person who's ostracized. Okay, the next case after wrapping one's head, and I'll just mention briefly before we move on, the Shulchan Aruch mentions wrapping the head in Yoredeya Shin Pei Vav, 386, the section 386. The Rama points out that we don't do this nowadays, that it is not an aspect of mourning. And there are two possible reasons for that. The reason that's given in all the Nosekelim on the Shulchan Aruch is because the non-Jews ridiculed the Jews for doing this. And that seems like a very strange reason not to do it. After all, that's what Az Kenamer, we should be bold like a leopard, we keep our traditions just because things we do seem strange. It seems strange to wrap leather straps around your arm 7 times in the morning too, but we do it even if other people don't do it. It seems strange that they would abolish this minhag just because people ridiculed them. So perhaps the other reason is that the reason people did it is because they wore turbans or shawls around their necks, so they just had to put them over their heads. But when the culture changed and people were no longer wearing those kinds of keffiyehs or neck things, so then it was unusual and odd for someone to put it on just so they could cover their face. So perhaps the minhag went out of fashion when their sartorial reality changed. In which case, that's why some of the Nosekelim mentioned that in a community where people wear hats, it is possible to still do this just by pulling the brim of the hat down a little bit so that it covers part of your face. You can fulfill Atifat HaRosh, but that seems to be not the real minhag. Okay, the next case is tefillin. Avel asur laniach tefillin. A mourner is forbidden to wear tefillin. Miduka amar le'rachman eli Yechezkel, because the Holy One said to Yechezkel, pe'ercha chavush alacha. Now, this seems like the literal translation of that verse is that you should go bareheaded, that a mourning would be to go bareheaded. In other words, he's telling Yechezkel, keep your hat on your head. keep your hat on your head. That's normal. But if you were a mourner, you would have to take your hat off. That would be a sign that you were a mourner, that you had your hat off. But we understand this as the pe'er. It doesn't mention it here. It explains it in Brachot. That the pe'er is this glorious, pe'er means something that is like dignified or glorious, that this accoutrement on your head is the tefillin. That is the glory that you're wearing on your head. So since he told you, Yechezkel, you should continue to wear tefillin, michlal d'kulei alma asur, means that everybody else is forbidden to wear tefillin. This is really only referring to the first day of mourning, and there's a question as to whether or not it applies to the first day stam, whenever the burial is, or only when the burial and the death are on the same day. Menuda mahu betfilin. What about a person who's ostracized by the community? Do they wear tefillin? Teku, we don't know. We're not sure. We'll wait for Eliyahu to come tell us. Mitzora mahu betfilin. Does a mitzora wear tefillin? Tashma, we learn in a Brita, we learned this earlier, when it says v'hatzarua in Vayikra Yud Gimel, and the one who has tzaras, the rabbi Kohen Gadol, that comes to include the Kohen Gadol, who also can become a mitzora. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with our Gemara, but then the Gemara goes on in the Pasuk, it says bigadav yihiyu frumim, his clothes should be torn, or this word farum is not clear what it means. So they say sheyehu mekuraim, the clothes should be torn. And then it says verosho yihya farua, and his hair should be farua, whatever farua means. Usually farua means messy or disheveled. But the Gemara interprets, ein priya ela gidul se'ar, divrei Rebbe Lazar. What priya means, based on this gezeira shava of gadel pera, which is explained in another place, not here, is the growth of hair, meaning basically a month's worth of hair is considered gadel pera. So when it says verosho yefarua, means he should allow his hair to grow. From allowing his hair to grow, we can learn here that a mitzora, first of all, you can learn from a mitzora that they don't get a tisporet, they're not supposed to get their hair cut. That's what it seems like he's learning from this, that they shouldn't get their hair cut. But Rabbi Akiva learns it differently. He says, Nemra havaya berosh. It uses the language of havaya, which is the word yihya. So it says, verosho yihya farua, it shall be. Venemra havaya bebeged, and it uses the language of havaya in a beged, right? The bigadav yihyu frumim. Right, so in both those cases, use that word havaya. Ma havaya ha'amura bebeged. When it says it shall be related to a garment, it is a davar shechutz migufo. The garment is something that is outside of his body. It rests on top of his body. Af havaya berosh. So too, the havaya on the head, davar shechutz migufo, should be something that's outside his body. So it can't be his hair, because his hair is attached, is part of his body. My lava tefillin, so then it should be his tefillin. So in both cases, just like the clothes are on top of his body, the tefillin is on top of his body, and therefore they are similar. This is a strange way of looking at it. I would look at it a different way. I would say the thing is done to the thing itself, meaning the clothes are the one that's torn. So then the head or the hair is the thing that to which it is done. So it should be related to the hair itself, just like the clothes itself are the ones that's, or the hair itself should be the one that grows wild. It shouldn't be something outside the hair. But the Rabbi Akiva learns it in a different way. However, Rav Papa disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rav Papa, lo, that's not what it means. You're understanding. Now, I think Rav Papa is accepting the connection of Havaya, that because there's a Havaya in both cases, it says the word Yihiyu in both cases, that they are connected. But he connects them differently. He says, Akumta Visudra. What it's referring to there is his hat and his scarf. In other words, what this goes back to the original interpretation of Yechezkel, that what Rav Papa is saying is that he should have to, in order to mourn, he should have to take off his hat and take off his scarf, and he should be bareheaded and bare-necked, and that would be a sign of mourning. Okay, we will stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.